I'd like to turn to Book of Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Of the 66 books of the Bible, this is probably the most unique. It is primarily allegorical, filled with metaphors and various images. There are a couple of different ways that you can approach Song of Solomon. Many applications. Without a doubt, it is one of the most neglected books of the Bible. It's a very beautiful book, as all the books of the Bible are. It's a book that ought to captivate our hearts and our minds. It's basically a love story that contains a very special message. It's really a song of love. The very first verse reads, "The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's." 1 Kings 4, verse 32, we're told that Solomon wrote 1,005 songs, and this is said to be the Song of Songs. That is the most excellent of them all. A love story told in song. Throughout the book, we find two main characters, a man and a woman. And the book tells of their courtship, this man and this woman. Throughout the book, these two are seen interacting with one another. They're expressing their feelings. They're expressing their love, their desire, their longing, their appreciation for each other. Many view Song of Solomon as simply a love story of between Solomon and some woman, but I don't believe that's the case at all. I believe it's much more than that. I believe, first of all, it is a song that portrays the special love relationship between Christ and His bride, that is, the kind of church that Jesus established during His earthly ministry. But as we said, the song has a wide range of approaches and application. And there are many personal applications to the individual child of God in their relationship with Jesus Christ. As individuals, we ought to be able to identify with this story of love told in song. The truth is, our lives ought to be a story and a song of love for the one who has saved our soul. I'd like to read this morning for our text, verse 4. The first two songs we sang are what we're preaching on this morning. But in Song of Solomon 1, verse 4, "Draw me," this is the woman speaking, "we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee." Again, this is the woman speaking, and she, out of a heart of love, is seeking to be drawn near, to be drawn closer to the one she loves. We as children of God, saved individuals, ought to be able to put ourselves in Song of Solomon 1, verse 4. I ask you today, can you see yourself in that verse? You know anything at all about the king hath brought me into his chambers? You ever been there? Read the verse. Can you put yourself in this verse? What we read in this verse is illustrative of a very wonderful and extraordinary life that is possible for you and I. What we read here is descriptive of our lives and ought to be the experience, the continual experience of our lives. I want to speak this morning on the cry to be drawn. The cry to be drawn. We want to look basically two main points. First of all, we want to consider the plea itself. And then we want to see some results of the plea. But the plea and cry of this woman is found in those two words. Draw me. It is a plea to be drawn to him. It is obvious from the words after thee that she's praying that to be drawn to him. As if she is saying, move me closer to thee. Pull me toward me, toward thee. Tug at me to move closer to thee. It is a cry for him to do something on her behalf. First of all, this plea comes from one who is in love. And as we think about it in our relationship to the Lord, we will only pray this consistently if our heart is filled with love for him. This love is obvious from what she says in verse 2 and 3, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. She's in love. She's captivated by the person whom she loves. We need to ask ourselves, are we enamored by the person of Jesus Christ? She said of him in verse 7, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. Whom my soul loveth. You'll notice if you go over to chapter 3, she repeats this phrase in verse 1, whom my soul loveth. In verse 2, whom my soul loveth. In verse 3, whom my soul loveth. In verse 4, whom my soul loveth. She is stating that he is the love of her life. My soul loves thee. He is the love of her life. And we need to honestly examine. Is he the love of our life? Throughout the book, she repeatedly refers to him as my beloved. My beloved. And when those listened to her, they knew who she was talking about. He was the love of her life. She had a love that was deep. She had a love that was strong. She had a fervent love for him. She had a love that took an intense interest in Jesus Christ. She had a love that attracted her to him. She was attracted to him. She had a love that filled her heart with delight, filled her heart with a desire for him. She had a love that caused her to want to experience him more and more. Her heart is simply fixated upon him. She had a love that caused her to interact with him. She had a love that caused her to be identified with him. Oh, how many today are offended when their love for the Lord is questioned. But we need to hear for ourselves what Christ asked Peter three times. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? We need to be constantly examining our love for him. Because I promise you this, without a love for him, you will be a tragedy of the pull of the world. Maybe not visible to all, but you will be a tragedy to the pull of the world. If as a child of God, you are not in love with him. So hear her as she pleads. Draw me. Move me closer to thee. Pull me toward thee. Tug at me to move closer to you. So it comes from one who had a love for him. This plea comes from one who realized a possibility, who realized a certain fact. The possibility and the fact is stated by the psalmist in Psalm 73 and 28. The psalmist said, "It is good for me to draw near to God." What that statement means is, it is possible. It is possible for me, it is possible for you, to draw near or to get close to God. We need to get a hold of that. I can draw near to God. What an opportunity. What a privilege. Before the Lord saved us by grace, we read in Ephesians 2:13 that we were without God. That we were far off from God. We lived our lives without God. We lived our lives far away from God. But every single day, since the Lord rescued and saved our souls, we have had the possibility and the privilege has existed for you and I to draw near to God. And today is no different. It is possible today. I have the opportunity. I have the privilege to draw near to God. Think of those three words there in Psalm 73:28. Near to God. Near to God. That speaks of something remarkable. And those are words for right now. The possibility, the opportunity, the privilege, and may I say, the obligation to be near to God exists at this very moment. I can be near to God. You can be near to God. Near to God. Now that means nothing to the unsaved sinner. Nothing at all. But it should stir the heart of everyone who has been saved by his grace. Near to God. Though those words mean nothing to the unsaved sinner, they ought to create a thirst within you and I that are saved. Near to God. Those are words that ought to cause every blood-bought, every saved-by-grace child of God to examine where they are. It is possible right now for each one of us that are saved to be near to God. And if we're not, that's sin. That's sin. We need to examine. Where are we today? Jeremiah 2 and verse 5, we read concerning God's people. God said, they are gone far from me. Oh, how sad. They had opportunity. They had privilege to draw near to God, and they have gone far from me. He said in Jeremiah 2 and verse 13, they have forsaken. They have forsaken me. This is true of those who could have been near to God. So I ask you today, are you near to God? Are you close to God? We're not interested. God isn't either. On all the reasons you have why you're not. It's just a simple question. You either are or you aren't. Are you near to God? So there's a privilege. There's also a fact stated there in Psalm 73:20. And I believe this woman in Song of Psalm 1 verse 4, she realized the possibility, the privilege, and the opportunity, I can be near to God. But she also realized the fact that the psalmist stated, he said, it is good for me. It is good for me to be near, to draw near to God. You read that 73rd Psalm. The psalmist made that statement without any restrictions. It's good for me to draw near to God. He made that statement without any limitations. You see that as you read that psalm, there were others who were whoring from God, had gone a-whoring from God. Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It's good for me to draw near to God. There's never a time, there's never a condition, there's never a place, there's never a situation, there's never a circumstance when it is not good for me, when it is not good for you, to draw near to God. I can say with confidence to every single individual, we're talking to God's people today. We can say with confidence to every saved individual without knowing anything about them, it is good for you to draw near to God. I don't need to know your life. I don't need to know your circumstance. I don't need to know anything about you. It is good for me. It is good for you to draw near to God. In other words, it's never wrong. It's never wrong to draw near to God. It's always wrong to withdraw from Him. It's never unwise to draw near to God. It's always unwise to go from Him. It's never unadvisable. Why is that? Well, first of all, because of who He is. Because of who He is, it's good for me to draw near to God. But it's also good for me because this is where I find communion with God. This is where I experience the Lord. This is where we experience a closer relationship with Him. This is how we have a warmer friendship with God. It is good for me to draw near to God because it promotes holiness. Being near to God always promotes holiness. Always. It is good because it helps the understanding. A lot of people don't understand things they ought to simply because they're not near to God. Being near to God helps us to understand some things. Helps us understand some things about ourselves. It's good because it fixes our heart upon Him. We ought to get so close that that's all we can see. It also prevents the heart from becoming hard. My heart never becomes hard when I'm near God. It doesn't become bitter near God. You say, well, my heart's hard because of all these things that have happened. That's not why your heart's hard. Your heart's hard because you're not near to God. You see, as long as I stay near to God, my heart doesn't become hard. My heart doesn't become bitter. My heart doesn't become impenitent. Near to God, our heart is soft and pure and willing. It is good because when we're near to God, I tell you what, you can't get your priorities out of whack when you're near to God. It is good because it fortifies the mind. It revives spiritual desires. It'll keep you from becoming entangled in this world, near to God. It'll save us from spiritual loss. It'll save us from spiritual devastation and ruin. It is good because it is there, near to God. I find His enablement. I find His peace in the sorrows and in the afflictions and the adversities and the troubles and the difficulties. We find enablement near to God. We find peace. It is good because it is near to God that we live above this world. You know why many people don't live above this world? Because they're in the world. You want to live above the world? Get near to God. Being near to God is living upon the mountaintop. You may be walking in the valley, but being near to God, it's like being on the mountaintop. It's good because you'll find fulfillment there. You'll find fulfillment near to God. You won't find, read the book of Ecclesiastes, you won't find fulfillment out in the world. It's where we are spared. Near to God, our life, we are spared from a life of wandering. I can't wander near to God. It is there that we find we are spared from a life of emptiness. When I'm near to God, my life's full. It's near to God that we are spared a life of defeat and bondage. It is near to God that we are spared a life of exasperation, a life of chaos, and a life of unrest. It is good because near to God is where faith is strengthened. Near to God, life is exciting. Life is joyful. It is good because it is near to God that your heart will be filled with gratitude and praise and adoration and worship. Oh, we need to get hold of this. Life is good near to God. You say, my life stinks. Why is that? Why is that? And again, people give all kinds of answers, but there's really only one. Near to God, life is good. Life is good. In light of the possibility, in light of the opportunity and the privilege to draw near to God, in light of the fact that it is good for me to draw near to God, we must ask and we must examine ourselves. Am I near to God? Hear her as she pleads, draw me. Move me closer to Thee. How often do you pray, Lord, move me closer to Thee? How often do you pray, Lord, pull me toward Thee? When you begin to feel the first tugs and the first pullings of the world, you need to cry out, Lord, draw me. Pull me toward Thee. Lord, tug at me. You know, the Lord does that an awful lot in our lives. Just kind of tugs us. And you know what we do many times? We don't even feel it. And sometimes we don't even feel it. Oh, we need to be praying. Lord, tug. You know why some individuals don't feel the tug of the Lord? Because it takes a heart of love to feel that tug. It takes a heart of love. You know why some find that little tug to be such an annoyance? Lack of love. The plea comes from one who also had a sense of danger and need. Those two words to me imply that this woman had some sense that she was in danger. Draw me. Draw me. Again, it's the prayer of one who has a deep and passionate love. It's the prayer of one who realizes it is possible for me to be near to God. I have the opportunity and the privilege to be near to God. And it is advantageous to me to be near to God. And she begins to feel the danger that is all around her. And she begins to feel her own personal need. And she begins to feel perhaps the pullings of the flesh and the pullings of the devil and the pullings of the world. And she cries out, draw me! Draw me! Draw me from the snares of the devil. Draw me from the snares of the lust and the desires of the flesh. Draw me, Lord, from these things to Thee. Draw me from the allurements of the world. Draw me from the entanglements of the world. Draw me from the spell of the world. Draw me from these things, Lord. Oh, how often do we pray for the Lord to draw us closer. The world is always pulling. People will express sometimes, I feel like I'm being pulled in every direction. You know why you feel that way? Because it's true sometimes. And we're being pulled in every direction. What do we do in those times? Draw me, Lord, draw me closer to Thee. That's the answer. Draw me from temptations to Thee. When you feel tempted, you need to get closer to God. Draw me from me to Thee. When you begin to have a pity party, when life is focused on me, Lord, draw me from me to Thee. Draw me from my own reasonings. You know how much spiritual loss you people have suffered, all of us, because of our own reasoning? Draw me from my own reasonings. Draw me from anything that would cause me spiritual harm. Draw me from self-assurance. Draw me from self-reliance. Draw me from self-will. Draw me from self-seeking. Draw me from self-indulgence. Draw me to Thee. Again, we must ask and examine ourselves. Do I see the need to be near to God? Do we see the need? Oh, it's easy to see the need for someone else. Oh, they need to be closer to God. Well, you're right, they do. But we need to see the need for ourselves. I need to be closer to God. You need to be closer to God. I don't care how close you are. You need to be closer. That's true every day. I can't get close enough. This is a prayer for all seasons. Draw me closer, draw me closer. So do I see the need? Well, we can answer that question by asking another question. How often do I find myself praying, Lord, draw me? That answers the question whether or not you see the need. How often we pray, Lord, draw me closer to thee. So again, here as she pleads, draw me. Move me closer. Pull me closer. Tug at me. The plea also comes from one who's possessed with personal desire. She not only sees the need, she has a desire. Again, many think it's a foolish question to ask saved people, but I don't think it's a foolish question at all. Do we want to be closer to God? Do we really want to be closer to the Lord? Before you answer that question in your mind, remember what you might have to give up to be closer. Do we really want to be closer to God? It's like when we preach on revival, we ask that question all the time. Do we want revival? And I'll be honest with you. I believe if most of God's people who profess to be saved would answer that question honestly, they'd say no. They don't really want it. They want it on their terms. But that's not revival. This is a plea of one who has an intense yearning for Him. And I believe she prays this with a heartfelt passion. Draw me. I mean, think about it. He's our Savior. How can I not want to be close to Him? He's my Redeemer. He's my Shepherd. He's my Advocate. He's my Friend. Do I want to be close to my Savior? Do I want to be closer to my Redeemer, my Shepherd, my Friend? Do I desire to be close? How strong is my desire? How strongly do I desire to be near to Him? Are we willing to give up anything or anybody that is hindering us in any way? How strong is our desire to be near to God? Again, here as she pleads, draw me. Life is a constant flux of change. But this prayer should always be in our heart. Draw me. There's changes that take place in our families for a lot of reasons. Death, birth, sin, I mean, many things. There's change that takes place in our health. There's change that takes place in careers and relationships. Circumstances are changing all the time. And through it all, this needs to be our cry. Draw me. Draw me. Now let's look at the results. We have the plea. Draw me. The first result is her heart was zealously affected. Notice what it says. We will run after thee. When we feel the drawing, the moving, the pulling, the tugging power of His great love, we want to be drawn in such a way that we run toward Him. That all hesitancy is gone. That all thoughts of lingering are gone. And that all wavering between God and man, it's all gone. Feeling the power, feeling the drawing power of God. We will run toward Thee. That is, as God draws us, we begin to feel spiritual energy. He said, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just don't feel like serving the Lord. I don't have any spiritual energy. To put it in simple terms, what is wrong is we're not near to God. If God is drawing us, that creates spiritual energy. You won't find spiritual energy moving further from God. You find spiritual energy by getting closer to God. And we all have those times where we just don't feel like serving the Lord. We don't feel like praising God today. Well, we ought to. We ought to always feel that way. You say, well, I'm entitled to these days. No, you're not. Who told you that? They lied to you. I'll tell you who told you. You told yourself that. You lied to yourself. You're not entitled for a day of feeling sorry for yourself. You're not entitled for a day to wander from God. We're to draw near to the Lord. And as we draw near, spiritual energy is imparted and we find ourselves running in His direction. We need to always ask ourselves, in what direction am I going? That's true mentally, emotionally, whatever. We need to always be examining, which way am I going? Because the sooner you realize that you're going the wrong way, the sooner you can turn around. And the better off you'll be. The heartfelt and constant prayer, draw me, will keep us moving in the direction of God. It not only will keep us moving in the direction of God, it will cause us to be zealous for the direction of God. We will run after Thee. There's zeal. So her heart was zealously affected. I don't believe that you can sit worship service after worship service as a child of God in a true church where the Word of God is preached and not feel the Lord tugging. I don't believe you can go through a service. You ought to feel. And every time He tugs at us, He's inviting us to come closer. And every time He tugs at us, we do something. There's a response. There's a response. We could preach a whole message on that. Notice also there was a transporting. Notice what it says. Her prayer was answered. The king. We will run after thee. But the king hath brought me into his chambers. Think of those two words, three words, hath brought me. She felt the drawing. She felt the moving. She felt the pulling and the tugging of the Lord at her heart. She says, He brought me. She found herself moving in zeal toward Him. And now she feels herself being brought closer and closer to Him. That is the greatest feeling that there is. The feeling that you're being pulled toward God. The feeling that you're being drawn closer to God. She hath brought me. Or He hath brought me. Notice what it says. She finds herself in his chambers. In his chambers. What's that mean? Well, the chambers refers to the rooms of the king's palace. The king hath brought me into his chambers. When you get into the chambers of an individual, the house of an individual, you can become more aware of that person. You know where we become the most aware of God? In his chambers. In his chambers. In his chambers, we experience more of who he is. We see more of who he is. It's in his chambers that we learn and experience more of his almighty power. Have you ever spent time in the chamber of God's power? The chamber of his wisdom. The chambers of his holiness. You see, it's in his chambers that we experience these things more. The chambers of his grace. The chambers of his mercy. Chambers of his long suffering. The chambers of his goodness. His unending care. It's in his chambers that we see his riches. It's in his chambers that we experience his abundant provisions. Right now. Right now, today, it is possible to be brought into the chambers of the king. How can we be satisfied with anything less? To dwell in the chambers of the king. How many of us right now are willing to put absolutely everything else to the side and plead, Lord, draw me. Draw me. That is, move me closer. Pull me toward thee. Tug me to move. Then notice the results of being brought into the chambers. There's several. Notice it is in his chambers that she finds gladness and rejoicing in his person. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. Where do we find that gladness? Where do we find that rejoicing? In his chambers. How do we get there? He brings us. We plead, Lord, draw me, and he begins to bring us into his chambers. And I'll tell you what, once you get into those chambers, why do we leave? Why do we leave? None of us stay there. None of us do. Here we are in the most blessed place on the earth, in his chambers. And we leave for the wilderness. And then we find ourselves pleading again, Lord, draw me into his chambers. Some have been away from his chambers so long they've forgotten what it's like to be there. How sad. Notice also, it's in his chambers she found herself meditating upon his love. She said, we will remember thy love. Where does that take place? In his chambers. He hath brought me into his chambers. We'll rejoice and be glad in thee. We'll remember. We'll meditate upon thy love more than wine. It was in her chambers, or in his chambers, that her love for him was increased. Notice the last part of the verse. It says, the upright will love thee. It takes love to pray consistently. Draw me. And once the king brings us into his chambers, guess what happens? We love him more. Our love increases. And as our love increases, the more we find ourselves praying, Lord, draw me closer, draw me closer, draw me closer. So know today that whatever your circumstance, it can be a time of great physical, emotional, or spiritual need. Be a time of cares and burdens, whatever. Whatever your circumstance, remember that it is possible to be near to God. You know, sometimes in our circumstances, we know God is there, but he's out there. And there's a gap. Yeah, he's there, but he's out there. And there's a gap. Remember, it is possible. You have opportunity. You have privilege and you have obligation to draw near to God. If he's out there, you need to get that way. You need to start headed in that direction. Whatever your situation, it is beneficial for you to draw near to God. Whatever your circumstances, there are his chambers. They exist. That's wonderful to know. It's sad when God's people say, well, I don't know where to go. Well, where you been? I mean, what have you been hearing? I just don't know where to turn. Where have you been? We ought to always know where to turn. You may not want to turn there, but you ought to always know where to turn. There are his chambers. I can spend time in his chambers. His chambers can be down in the valley. His chambers can be on the winding road. Wherever his chambers are, I can be in them. And I need to pray, Lord, draw me. And then all the glory of feeling ourselves brought into his chambers. Oh, what joy. This is how we can rejoice even in tribulation. Because even if there's a storm outside, if you're in the midst of the king's chambers, what a wonderful thing. I mean, why would you stand out in the storm when you can enter into the king's chambers? Why would you feed off the dust of the ground when you can enter into the king's chambers? Oh, Brother Dan, you don't understand. Oh, I understand. I understand. We need to get to the king's chambers. We need to be praying. Draw me. And how often you and I pray those words. Don't have to be those exact words, but the meaning of those words speaks volumes of where we are spiritually. I mean, you fill a library. It speaks volumes of what we are, who we are. I mean, if we really realize that this is a possibility, this is a privilege, I can be near to God. I can be near to God. I can be near to God right now. Why? If I really realize that, why would I do that which takes me further from God? Why? That's another message. Draw me near. Draw me near. Move me closer to thee. How many of us today are willing to pray all day long? all day tomorrow, throughout the day. Lord, move me, move me, move me closer to Thee. You're having problems with your husband. You're having problems with your wife. You're having problems with your children. You're having problems with this church member or this church member. Lord, move me closer to Thee. When will we get it? When will we get it? Move me closer to Thee. That's where we need to be. This is true of every single one of us today. Can you feel? Can you feel the Lord tugging? Can you feel the Lord pulling? I'll tell you what. I would much rather be brought to the King's chambers with Him just a little tug, rather than Him grabbing me by my feet and dragging me. I'd much rather just feel that little tug. Oh, if you and I would learn to respond to the little tug, to the whisper, all the problems that we would be spared. No matter what your circumstances today, leave off all hesitancy and flee to Him. You want to know how to be a better husband? Draw near to God. You want to know how to be a better wife? Draw near to God. You want to know how to be a better church member? Draw near to God. You want to know how to be a better neighbor? Draw near to God. That's the answer. That's the answer. It's always the answer. Draw near to God. You say, well, it's not that simple. Well, it really is. We complicate things because we do not. Because in order to be drawn to God, I'm going to have to get rid of some things, some sins. And we don't want to do that. And we complicate the matter. But it's really pretty simple. Draw me from me to Thee. There's nothing complicated about it. We make it complicated by putting all these what ifs and everything else. Would you pray today? Draw me closer to God. You say, Brother Dan, if my wife was more godly, or if my husband was more godly, I could serve him better. You draw near to God. You can't change her, you can't change him. You draw near to God. And you'll be amazed at what the Lord does. Someone says something that upsets you. Someone says something that offends you. You go home and you think that matter over and over and over. That's going to get you further and further from God. The best thing to do as soon as the words come out of their mouth, oh Lord, draw me near. Draw me near to Thee. Save me from myself. Draw me closer to Thee. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.